I would like to begin by taking refuge in the three treasures, and you can join me if that feels appropriate. I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, I take refuge in Sangha. Start by reading a koan, kungan. This is from the Blue Cliff Record, case 14, the teaching of a whole lifetime. A monk asks Yuman, "What are the teachings of a whole lifetime?" Yuman said, "An appropriate response." I'll just leave that there for a moment. The three essentials of Zen, sometimes called the three pillars of Zen, great doubt, great faith, great effort. The first essential, great doubt, can also be translated as great question. My Zen practice, as I think for many of us, began with great doubt. I was filled with big questions and a drive to answer them. Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? Who am I? What is truth? The Buddha's spiritual journey began with a similar question, namely, why is there suffering in the world? And he was compelled to find an answer to this. This stage in our practice is sometimes called as the arising of bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is described as the development of the heart-mind, the dedication to achieving Buddhahood, the drive to pursue the bodhisattva path. So this great question sets us on the path to practice. The second essential, great faith. I was raised Catholic. Pretty early in my life, I rebelled against this, and faith became sort of a dirty word to me. So finding faith in Zen practice was a journey for me. And in a sense, starting on the path of Zen for me was a rebellion, pushing back against that Catholic upbringing. The concept of faith, of a trust in God or a higher power or something outside of myself, that blind faith in that other, felt wrong at some point. When I discovered Buddhism, some point as a teenager, somebody gave me a copy of Suzuki Roshi's Zen Mind, Beginner Mind, and the idea, the Buddha said, be a light unto yourself. And that idea of finding that truth that I was looking for in myself rather than in something that somebody else could tell me seemed like the right fit. So it took me a while to find comfort in the idea of faith in my Zen practice. Faith still had that negative connotation. I began finding that through my Zen teachers. I met my first Zen teacher, Charlotte Joko Beck, when I was in my mid-20s, and I could immediately see that she understood something about life that I could not. In effect, she had an answer to those great questions, the great doubt, and somehow, just by being in her presence, I could begin to detect the answers to those questions. I couldn't articulate them with words, but after talking to Joko, Dokusan, or Dharma dialogues, things would just make more sense. Some deep way, some inarticulable way, but for a short while, I would leave those conversations and things would just make sense. There's a peace that would last for some amount of time. And I also saw that in some sense, Joko understood me more than I understood myself. She could see through those illusions, the stories that I would tell myself, and just cut them away and leave with something essential. And she would call me out on all of my deepest assumptions, my deepest habits, those views of myself that had guided my life without me ever being aware of them. And she would force us to ask ourselves, if I'm not my desires or aversions, then what am I? So great faith piggybacks on great doubt. Those questions that come up, the faith in the answer, I began to see through my teachers, because I knew, I could see that they knew something that I didn't. And that gives me faith to take the first steps on the path. And after that first step, great faith then becomes a dedication to walking the path itself. It's faith in the path itself, it's courage to take the next step. And we begin to see the results of practice in our daily life. We learn to become more present, live our life more fully. As I started dedicating myself to my Zen practice, I started having less self-doubt, less anxiety, more faith in my life, became more present with the people in my life. And I quickly began seeing my Zen practice would make me a better father, a better partner, make me happier. And so faith in Zen practice for me is trusting that path and to continue to walk it one step at a time. So that reconciled my precarious relationship with faith. My Zen practice doesn't require me to have any blind faith in any other force, any God. Even the existence of a Buddha didn't really matter. I just needed enough faith to have enough courage to take that step on the path, one step at a time, and see the results. Great determination, great effort, or great perseverance. That's the third essential, the third pillar. My teachers have often said that the most important thing about Zen practice is to just keep sitting, even when we don't feel like sitting. Maybe even especially when we don't feel like sitting. Perseverance is the key, not how you feel. So Zen practice can feel great. I spent a lot of my life suffering from anxiety, and my Zen practice has given me a greater sense of peace, and I'm thankful for it. But also sometimes Zen practice can be really scary, it can be really hard, it can be really discouraging. Sometimes I don't want to sit. I've gone through retreats where they're just painful and hard, and I question, why the heck am I doing this? There's also times where my Zen practice has felt very existential. I think when we begin to see the emptiness behind the constructs that we've created in our lives, the identities that we've crafted, we see that we're not the things we've always told ourselves that we are. I am this, I am that. They're all ideas, they're all constructs. There's something beneath them, but that emptiness can seem terrifying, it can seem bottomless. There's a teaching, I think in the Christian tradition, of the dark night of the soul, and I found a spot in my Zen practice where I found the emptiness behind the form, but I couldn't find the form behind the emptiness, and I just kind of wondered, who am I? And there's nothing to stand on, and there's no identity to take refuge in anymore. I think that's where the great faith and the great determination both come in. I look at my teachers to shine a light down the path that they've walked before me. And that's what we mean by taking refuge. So coming back to the three refuges. In the Upada Sutra, Ananda once said to the Buddha, I think that spiritual friendship is half of the spiritual path. It is so important to our journey. And the Buddha replied, no, Ananda, you're wrong. Friendship is not half the spiritual path. It is the entirety of the spiritual path. That is taking refuge in the Sangha. It's our great faith, it's our great determination. We fall back on each other and we support each other. When I met Joko Beck, she was close to 90 years old, and her cognition was slipping a little bit. She had moments of inspiring clarity, and she had moments where she was confused, and she would forget, and she would contradict herself. And so her Dharma talks were often profound, and at the same time, they were often very short and pithy and very much like a koan. It's been said that the value of a koan or kungan is not in answering the question, it's in asking the question and being comfortable sitting in that spot of not knowing. So Joka's Dharma talks would often be something like sitting down around her like this, and she would say, "What is Zen practice?" and then let us try to answer. And we would realize how it seems like such a simple question, but it's such a hard answer. And we would never feel like we could come up with the correct answer. We would stumble. One day in private interview with her, I said that I didn't have any questions that day for her. And she replied, "Well, there's only one question." Which I was surprised. I didn't know that. "What is it that keeps you from being present in your life?" And my mind was blown because I'd been practicing with her for some amount of time and she'd never asked that. And so I replied that. I said, "I don't recall you ever having asked that before." And she said, "Well, there's many ways to ask the question, but they're all the same question." What keeps you from being present in your life? What are the teachings of a whole lifetime? Why is there suffering in the world? What's the meaning to this all? Or simply, what is this? There are many ways to ask the question, but they're all the same question. So coming back to that kungan, what are the teachings of a whole lifetime? I have a very short reading by Zen teacher Barry McGid, who is one of Joko's Dharma heirs, that touches on this, but maybe doesn't quite answer it. Each moment calls to us. Each moment we respond. Sometimes we'll say yes to that moment. Sometimes we'll say no. It's a perfect expression of everything that we are right up until that moment. You could say every moment, all our character and history and training are just now manifesting as this. We can't miss. We can't miss perfectly expressing the sum of everything that we are in that moment. That's our face showing up in the mirror. There's no way we're going to get it wrong. Our face is going to be right there. It's going to be shown to us. And whether we're smiling or crying or looking distracted, it's us. A mirror is always giving an appropriate response to a face in front of it. So our practice is recognizing the appropriateness of every response and how much of a whole lifetime of teaching is summed up without fail in each moment's response. Is there anything else?